Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Keith Overt here, broadcasting live from DeVore Square. This is our LEAP alumni, episode number 5, and I am surrounded by three pretty prominent people in our community. I would like to think that you all participate very heavily. And also LEAP alumni with us today. I'm going to let you go around the horn and introduce yourselves.
Thanks, Keith. I'm Teresa Sherp.
And you are with?
I work at University of West Florida, and I'm also the president of Junior League of Pensacola.
Yeah, so you have a pretty full plate.
Not as full as many. There's a lot of people doing a lot for Pensacola.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Hey, good morning. Doug Herrick. I'm with Coastal ICF as one business in Sun Farm Energy.
Fantastic. You guys do all the solar stuff, don't you?
We do.
It's cool, man.
We are solar integrators, what we call ourselves.
Awesome.
And I'm Doug Brown. I'm with the Community Action Program.
Awesome. Well, welcome, you guys, this morning. I'm glad you could make it.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me about your role with Junior League.
Okay, well, Junior League of Pensacola, if you're not familiar with the Junior League, it's an international organization, strictly volunteer-based, and I like to think... if you haven't heard of us, look it up. Facebook, online, ask somebody. Surely if you strike up a conversation with somebody in Pensacola, they've been a part of the Junior League or know somebody that has. But what we do is train women to be skilled volunteers so that we build up better women so that we can go out and build up a better community. So if you're familiar with anything like evenings in Old Seville, Square. If you're familiar with something like Leadership Pensacola, mm-hmm. Junior League has had a part in building up these great projects for the community and then basically backing off so that the community can really absorb those type of projects.
Yeah. So how'd you get into all this?
Well, about 13 years ago, one of my girlfriends was like, hey, let's get into the Junior League. I'm like, okay, sounds great. So ever since then, I've been a member in some capacity. The great thing about that is that you can be single, you can be married. I have 3 kids. You can do it. You can be working outside of the home or not. We have people that are, you know, like rocket scientists, stay at home moms, crafters. It's really inclusive. It's really diverse. We have people in their 90s. We have people that are 21. So it's really something for everybody. As long as you're a woman mm-hmm. and you want to volunteer, we can accommodate
yeah.
that.
I guess that counts me out.
Yeah, I think you're out on this one.
Hey,
I think Doug's out on this one,
if
too.
If you guys want to be Joe Junior Leaguers, we will find something. So you cannot be a member, but...
But you can help.
We will find something for mm-hmm. you.
Very cool. So how many members do y'all have now?
We have roughly 500
wow.
women that are active community volunteers with the Junior League of Pensacola.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. Well, thanks for hanging with us today.
Absolutely. If you're interested in becoming a member, look us
well,
up.
Well, I can. I'm a guy, right?
You know what? Yes. But if you know somebody, if you know a woman in the community, we have another opportunity to learn more about potential membership coming up on June 16th at NAM at 6 p.m. We have new member informational sessions every 2 weeks throughout the summer. So go ahead, hit up our Facebook site, Twitter, or call the league office. Mm-hmm. And but again, June 16th at 6 p.m. at NAM.
Cool. All right. And we're going to touch on it some more, I promise.
Awesome.
Tell me about solar sun farming, man.
Okay.
And why aren't we all doing it?
Well, that's a great question. Of course, we should all be doing it.
Yeah.
The sun rains down on us. There's enough power from the sun in one day to power the whole earth for a year. So why aren't we doing it? It's renewable energy. Solar totally makes sense. A few years ago, one of the biggest stories is the price of a solar system has come down dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
This is because of globalization. The whole world has embraced production of solar, hence the cost has come down dramatically, about a 75% decrease over the last 5 years. At the same time, the cost of electricity is slowly rising. So we're at a point on that graph where we have what we call grid parity, where it really makes sense. Solar is catching on. It's catching on dramatically in other parts of the country, and it's just really now starting to come into Pensacola. We've been in business doing solar for 5 years, and we've seen just an incredible increase in interest. The way the ICF business started, the other business I'm involved with, It really was individuals interested in understanding, doing research, and interested in sustainability that were driving that market.
Mm-hmm.
We see the same thing in solar. It typically is a lot of people that watch infomercials, do studying on Google, online, maybe move here from a state that has more developed solar resources, like Arizona, Colorado, maybe California, mm-hmm. even New Jersey. We're the Sunshine State. We definitely need to be embracing.
We definitely need to be beating New Jersey.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that.
Yeah, but a lot of it has to do with the laws.
Yeah,
and we have a net metering law in place, which allows you to freely buy and sell electricity at the retail rate, and that's a real positive thing. Another thing is the investment tax credit in the federal government that gives you a 30%. Credit on any dollar with no limit spent on solar energy. So the big thing is electricity is a commodity.
Mm-hmm.
You know the cost of a system going in. You know exactly how much it's going to cost you, and you know the return, the yield on it, based on the current rate of electricity. So it's an attractive investment with a double-digit return and inside of a 10-year payback.
Yeah. So what's it cost of solar power at the average home these days here?
Well, it really depends on consumption, how big a system. You can start small and grow it. I would say the average size on the average home is somewhere between 7 and 8 kW.
But at some point, you're like giving power back to the grid, aren't you?
Yeah, electricity, a grid interactive system, which is the majority of what we put in, it generates electricity, and it freely trades it. You either consume it or sell it back to the grid.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not storing electricity. We're generating it. And the net metering and the grid interaction allows us to use every electron we generate. Either we're selling it back and powering mm-hmm. our neighbors' homes, or we're using the electricity.
Very cool.
Wow.
So I could have a negative power bill? Or does it stop at zero?
Well, no, what net metering does is you actually get a credit. If you have a smart meter on your home and it's reprogrammed when you sign an agreement with the utility mm-hmm. to net meter. And so it keeps track of how much you purchase and how much you sell back. And you get the overage in the form of a credit. And at the end of the year, if you are a net producer of electricity, you'll actually get a check back from the utility.
Nice. So you had me at money.
Nope.
Yeah,
no
there
doubt.
You go.
Yeah, very cool. All right, we'll get back into some more
Fantastic.
Of this here in a minute. I want to give the other Doug a chance here, man. Tell us a little bit about, I'm going to say Head Start, but it's CAP, isn't it?
It is the Community Action Program, which includes a number of programs. The mission of everything that we do is to help families become more self-sufficient. So that includes energy, that includes child care, that includes strengthening families in any number of ways. Our agency is a 50-year-old nonprofit. It has round figures 190 employees doing probably six times that number
yeah,
of things.
Of work, right?
We've got a structure that is pretty unique. The way we're structured and we're federally funded is that to ensure the Fed term is maximum feasible participation of all segments of the community, the impact that we have should be driven by the community. That said, individuals that represent those low-income sectors have a mandated seat on our board mm-hmm. in governance and everything that we do. The notion of that is that change has to start from the source. That is to say that folks should have a stake in what programs are being created and done. And the other piece to that is by structure, tripartite structure, one-third being those individuals from those targeted communities, one-third from the business community, one-third from the public sector elected officials. It also creates advocacy opportunities for communities or individuals within communities that may not see the advocacy power that they've got.
Sure.
And by being in a governance relationship, assuming that the four of us were in a room, One would be representing an organization or individuals or communities that are unresourced. They would be sitting next to policymakers and recognize that that's just Doug right there. And I can go talk to Doug and tell him about my drainage issues or my school issues or whatever issues. And that generates into the change that should take place in a community. So it's a powerful thing when all cylinders are working. As is life in many cases, it's really about the tweaks, things that you see that you need to change, ways that you can expose folks to challenges that families and individuals are having. And I think the most important thing is building social network. I'm hearing the young lady speak about Junior League. I'm hearing this gentleman talk about what he's doing with solar energy and all of those things, all of those resources, all of that energy touches folks that touch our program.
Sure.
And the powerful thing about what we're doing here with this forum is the listeners will be able to hear that, see that, and see that interconnectedness. At the end of the day, I'm going to give a brief aside.
You go for it.
With the passing of with Muhammad Ali, I sat at my desk the other day, and I was really just thinking about that life, that journey, that one person.
Yeah.
And the times where he was vilified by this country and other times, and as he transitioned, that he was revered and loved, and the changes that took place along the way. And I called my old high school coach, grew up in Stamford, Connecticut. I called, he answered the phone. I said, "Coach Lyons." He said, "Hey, Dougie." Nobody calls me Dougie. He was like, hey, coach.
From here on out, you will forever be known as Dougie. We will call you Dougie.
Well, there you go. And what I said to him was, same thing I just said to you all. I was reflecting on the journey of that life of that kid from Louisville who ended up basically, in his words, shocking the world.
Sure.
And I was thinking about those heroes along my life's journey. And I said, "Coach, I just want you to know that I need my heroes to know that they're my heroes. And I just called to tell you that." And we talked for a little while, and he was quite emotional. And I said, "You know, I don't want anything to do anything. I just need you to know that because it matters." And I say that to say the things that folks that are volunteering are doing are just that. There are incredible volunteers in this community. And part of this discussion is LEAP. And I wanted to connect the dots there because through those types of experiences, you get strengthened by seeing what others are able to do. And where you think you're tired, you're able to look and say, "There's a lady that's 90. What am I complaining about? I can do more."
Yeah.
And that's the magic of volunteerism. That's the magic of civic engagement.
Go ahead.
Those fantastic insights, Doug. And something that just came to mind while he was talking, this reminds me so much of the LEAP program and bringing people together from different backgrounds, business people, banking, doctors, lawyers, entrepreneurs, sharing ideas, going through this year-long program. It was tremendous for me. I got a lot out of it. And this actually reminds me of that.
Yeah.
We sat down and there's already things that we need to talk about. The community is so interconnected with people from these, that have different perspectives and different talents that this is one of the strengths of the Leadership Pensacola program.
Yep.
So what year were you?
Late 2000.
Okay, that's not bad.
That was a year.
That's better than 85,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
And I thought the 2000 year was actually, they thought about shutting it down. You guys were so terrible. Uh-huh. That's what I heard.
We actually, I was contemplating what we did and some of the experiences I had in LEAP 16 years ago, and we did our class project was the first thing we did, the memorial on the Bayfront Parkway, I'm confusing it, the name of it, but you know what I'm talking about. It has the sculpture of the hands,
the missing children.
And and I've seen other classes and heard of, they get publicity when they do their projects. And it's very interesting over the years to see what these people come together and decide to do for the community.
Right.
And over this period of time, I've seen a lot of really interesting things. LEAP teaches you to come together and solve problems. Another really interesting thing that I remember was SIMSOC. And I see, I just got this
huge
smile.
What color were you?
I don't remember that. I'm thinking
Well, you obviously weren't red.
I was going to say, because you'd remember red. Was that scarred for life,
were you the
man.
Ones locked in the closet?
Yeah.
I was part of the media group.
Okay.
And that, you know, of course, it, for anyone who hasn't been through LEAP or doesn't know what SimSoc means, it's Simulated Society, I believe is what that stands for. And you're assigned to a group, whether you're with the media or you're a disadvantaged group, and then you're put in this situation. If you're disadvantaged, they cut you off from society or give you limited resources. During lunch, one group will get this, you know, lobster, wonderful meal. Another group gets hamburgers. Yeah. Another group.
Yeah, bread and peanut butter.
Yeah, bread
on the floor.
So you're simulating these different
realities.
Different realities that people face in society. And it really gives you, and you come together, the whole purpose of this thing is to come together and solve problems together. Mm-hmm. And what a wonderful, memorable, I think everybody I've ever talked to that's been through it always has.
I think it teaches you how to walk a mile in somebody else's shoes real quick.
It does. It does. And it's just so empowering going through that. So that was one of my highlights for sure.
Yeah, very cool. What are some highlights for the two of you?
I think the LEAP Leadership Pensacola, the experience overall was extremely empowering, and the project and just seeing what can be done. And in actuality, it's just 50 individuals from a community that are like-minded and can get things done. And just the ability, like you said, whether it's the project or seeing these people from different walks of life and having different worldviews come together, for me, motivated me to get out, volunteer, and do more. Because I came into the situation and I thought I was already doing something for my community.
Right.
And at the end of this year, or 9 months or whatever it was, I said, wow, if we're able to get so much done, or these people are able to get so much done, I can really step up my game. And so it was this experience with Leadership Pensacola. I went in representing the Junior League of Pensacola. And I said, this was really where I said, I need to do more. And it was that where I said, I need to sit in on the executive board for Junior League of Pensacola. I need to do more. And this is what prompted me to say, yes, I'll go ahead and was interested in becoming the president. It's also inspired me to do more within my my church and other opportunities, because it was just 50 individuals that were really interested in seeing a difference. And you see with just so, you know, a few people that are interested in making their community just some amount of change. You know, our project was the LEAP Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And just having some opportunity, it doesn't have to cost anybody anything, but be able to have a place where kids can go play, or people that want to go run or exercise, just have that. And Pensacola is so beautiful naturally. You know, what can we do to just have this opportunity? So it was so motivating for me to see what 50 people that can do. So what could your faith-based organization do? Or what could, you know, a group of people that you're already playing with. So it was just motivating and eye-opening for me. And that was the spearhead for me to do that. And now this year I signed up to do the lead staff group at UWF. And so it's just inspired me to do more and be kind of reflective. It's just a great opportunity.
Yeah.
And learning. It was a training opportunity for me with student group
a wealth
coming
of knowledge.
In.
Yeah.
So that low, high performing, and like, what can I do if someone's not performing in my job or group? You know, what can I do to encourage
my children?
Them? My children, and it's great because you can apply it in all facets of your life. So what can I do to help encourage and empower other individuals? And if people really are performing, what can I do to help say, you're doing a great job, keep it up?
Yeah, right. Very cool.
It's important.
You're up, Dougie.
I would say that I would say the friends, the folks that I met along the way that I see around town, and we have that common bond of the experiences. I think we had the highest rain out of events of any LEAP class to that date in 2014. But truly it was just getting to know folks. And the other part is I'm quite contrary. That is to say, if the crowd is going one way, I'm always going to raise a question on the other side, because I think
we all need that one guy in the group.
Trust that I think that most people follow because they don't think. And I want to make you think. I want you to think about it. I want you to defend it. And if you can't defend it, I'm just going to ask you why not? At the end of the day, though, the experience was one where there was a tremendous amount of sharing of things that were quite frankly heart-wrenching. And when you start hearing the journey that people have been on,
mm-hmm.
and you see how they are, how they present themselves, and how they give back in spite of, in some cases, some very tough life experiences. What we all do every day is we get up, we put on whatever facade we think is the best facade, and we go forward. All of us are dealing with something.
Right.
And that experience was one where you're able to see some people that, you know, you're like, yeah, they're very accomplished and they're this. And then they're like, yeah, but they've got some stuff they're dealing with and they're doing so gracefully.
Yeah.
And they are giving back. And the other part with the project is the amazement of how you're able to, in such a short period of time, generate a lot of daggone energy, enthusiasm, resources, contacts, and so on.
Yeah.
And when you start this thing, you look and say, geez, I don't know how we're going to do that. We did, our project was a Sacred Heart Children's Playground. And to see all of this happen, you know, from permitting to design to materials, mm-hmm. and just folks that are just calling in favors, calling friends, and just, and I know that it was an opportunity for some to hone some skills that they may not have in their professional life. But then it allowed them to go and expand their experiences in their professional life, because one, it built their confidence, and mm-hmm. two, it had built exposure from those that they work with to say, well, doggone, she can do that.
So that's exactly what happened with me. So, because I guess I chose to throw myself to the wolves because it was going to be a totally new experience for me. And at this point, it was probably the biggest fear in my life. So I just went at it head first and figured, screw it. If I failed, then at least I tried. Right. Mm-hmm. And found out so many facets of myself that I had no idea existed, as far as skill set,
right.
The ability to just maneuver, to find resources, mm-hmm. all of those things. That honestly was a huge, probably turning point in my life to be able to say, you know, there's probably a couple of dreams I've had hanging out for a little while,
right.
that are maybe time to go chase now.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. The thing that I'm thinking about as I hear you say that, is fear is so immobilizing. And if you just face it, you realize many times that it wasn't a big scary thing that you thought. You just need to just take the step.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite ones is fear and excitement are the exact same thing. It's the exact same vibration. It's the exact same emotion.
You're very, very meta.
I try. I try.
Well, Doug,
you know why? Because it's working. It's working.
Doug, I think you bring up a point that's been brought to my attention a lot of times about the Leadership Pensacola experience, is when people are applying and I say, well, tell me what really excites you about LEAP. And they say, well, when you talk about it,
yeah,
you get so excited because all of these people it's brought into your life.
Right.
And they are your best friends.
Right.
And then I reflect, I was the group, the class of 2013. And when you hear about it, they say, well, that's the best class ever. And I say, you're right.
I've never heard.
Okay, I think you got to go now.
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
You know, that's funny. So it really is interesting because I think you're really, as you brought up, Doug, one. So it's it really is such a dynamic group of people that you may not have been introduced to, even if Pensacola is where you were born and raised, and it's immediately introduced me to this group of people that are my best friends,
yeah,
right. and that I talk to now on a daily basis. And when I need something, not a like a favor, yeah. even though there are a lot of people right. that I would call for favors,
right.
but I need something like as a personal or advice, these are the group of people that are my go-to people.
Right.
And it's amazing the bonds that you build, even mm-hmm. though this is a once a month, supposed to be a once a month meeting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
you find out yeah. there's a lot more to it. But these are the people that I trust. They're my mentors and they really have become my confidants and best friends. And aside from the networking, aside to the volunteerism and the gifts back to the community, such as our projects, this is the biggest gift back to me.
Yeah.
And it has become a beautiful gift. And it really has inspired me to give back because of what has really been the friendships. I was just kind of joking at the pen I'm using is one of my girlfriends, the Escape Wellness Spa, my friend mm-hmm. Stephanie Knight. She was in the class of 2013 and it's one of the biggest gifts is having these friendships that I consider now lifelong
That's great.
Friendships. It's been beautiful.
Yeah. If I could have a 50 employee company, I would take every one of that was in my class.
Absolutely.
Because there was enough eclecticness to cover anything that you needed done. Whether it was legal, whether it was accounting, whether it was counseling, whether it was, you know, fundraising. I mean, every aspect of business is in that group.
And it just gets done.
Yeah.
Because I was like, how are we going to get this done? And it just does.
Yeah, it's a shut up and do it.
Right. But I learned that about myself. I was like, how is it going to get done? And people just got it done, which inspired me to just do it. And right. I was like, you just dig deep and it just happens.
Yep, that's it. There we go.
I was fortunate that that was the year I started off on my journey with Coastal ICF. It was my first year in business. So it was very good timing for me. One, to see all these different facets of the community, but the networking opportunity with the professional
sure.
people. And it seems like everyone from my class has gone on to bigger and better things. And you're right, we stay in touch. And it's just a great opportunity to get to know people that you may not have yeah. otherwise crossed paths with.
Or pieces of this community that I didn't even know were here, like IHMC or Coastal ICF. Like, you know, there were, and I've lived here for a long time, but there were so many places in town that I had no idea were here, to which at the end was like, yeah, I'm proud to live here, you know?
Absolutely.
So.
Well, Pensacola is the growth here. Has been phenomenal, and the change in the community has been
yeah.
just amazing.
We're about to explode.
Yeah, well, I'm so happy to see what is going on right now, and I think, you know, if you look at the impact of LEAP, 50 people a year,
mm-hmm.
you know, over the last 20 years, that's a lot of people.
It's a lot of barriers to break down when it comes to business and stuff too.
Absolutely.
You know? There's a very large sort of community, all tide rises, you know, rising tide floats all boats kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely feel that some of that's been facilitated through the LEAP program.
And my only counter to that, whenever I hear that is true when you have a boat. For those parts of the community where there is no boat, that rising tide is going to be terrible.
Sure.
And that's part of the struggle and the challenge of the growth and the opportunities yeah. that exist in this community, is that there's pockets where folks are voiceless and are in many ways forgotten.
Yeah.
And a part of the work that we do with Community Action is to be advocates.
I was going
to
say, you're
sector.
Knee deep in it every day,
well,
aren't you?
And we all are. We just don't recognize it. That's just the truth. We all are. And the educational outcomes, the economic outcomes, there's so many people who have jobs and not careers. And the ways in which we're able to transform a job to a career changes communities, changes families, changes outcomes. And part of that work is one where, again, we're all a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing that I try my best to do is to be advocates for those individuals that I see coming through our doors, directly or indirectly, who need to know a Doug or Teresa, so that when opportunity exists, it's not someone that's foreign to you, but it's someone who you've got some connection to.
Sure.
Because there's many folks that are working really, 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 really hard. They're just not seeing the fruits of that for whatever reason.
Right.
And the truth is, when someone in these pockets of these communities, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of urban, regardless of rural, when someone from that community is able to be successful, it inspires. Others are then able to say, like we're all saying, I saw someone else do it. I can
sure,
too. I'm
sure.
not tired. I can go. And that's very, very, very important.
Yeah. Very cool.
Well, and I think you're bringing up a good point. I think this is something that we should continue off air, maybe for mm-hmm. coffee or something, because one of the things that that the Junior League is doing is an initiative we started last year with Girls on the Run. And it's just getting at these girls when they're about third through fifth grade.
Right.
And I think this is something that maybe with the CAP program and mm-hmm. Junior League that we could partner up
right.
and really get at these kids and give them a voice when they're really young. And so, of course, ours is going to be more targeted at girls.
Right.
But it's
and that's where there's need. I can tell you there's need.
Right.
Young ladies, girls, they need to get – with boys, and I'm going to make judgments or statements that are, I don't know to be factually true. I don't know to be factually true.
The opinions expressed here are not, yeah, just go ahead.
But what I will say is, anecdotally, you say to a group of boys, here, take that ball and go play.
Right.
And something happens in sports where things kind of sort themselves out. Mostly there's always things where, you know, we need a referee and we
sure.
need a coach. But for young ladies, it's not that simple. It's just not. There is and this is where I'm getting to that real, I really don't know this, but what I do know is that there's young ladies that are looking for ways that they can connect. And that connection is one that is much more intensive, because it just is. I just would say that. And that's mm-hmm. not to say that boys don't need the same thing. I probably need to stop talking now.
No, because, no. No,
what I was thinking as I'm talking is that I think that there is some there. If there's consistent, I'll say it this way. There is a need for kids to know that they have a loving and caring adult that is in their life and cares about them and is looking for them.
Yeah.
Right.
And
a place to go.
Right.
You know, right. And a place to grow into.
Right. Yeah. And I completely agree. And we see that about third grade is where a lot of that self-esteem issue falls off. And so that's one of the things that I'd love to continue with mm-hmm. you with a CAP program.
Yeah.
And that's why we picked up this initiative for Girls on the Run is what can we do to really instill that self-esteem and that mentorship that a lot of people really fall off. And so that we don't get to have that leadership experience and that positivity. And you say like there's this disconnect of when you're talking about this vote. And so what you're going to see this year is the Girls on the Run program, which is a national program. It's a mentorship program, and it incorporates a physical fitness aspect. It's not a running club.
Yeah.
So don't worry. You don't have to be a runner. But we want to say, what can we do about these girls, and why is there this disparity here? So look for that. Go ahead, look it up, Girls on the Run in Pensacola, because what we don't want to have is people that feel, or you know, women that feel like there's been this bullying, self-esteem, the eating disorders and things like that. So Junior League of Pensacola is going to be, we've kicked off the Girls on the Run initiative to help out with some things like that. Because we know in our community, there's a lot of issues such as human trafficking. We're on this I-10 corridor. And it's a problem that people don't like to talk about. It's super uncomfortable.
Right.
But sometimes the most uncomfortable thing, it's here. And it's a problem.
So I used to drive I-10 in my former previous career all the time. And you would see these 18-wheelers pulled over, and they were literally pulling people out of the back.
Absolutely.
Crazy.
And it's
crazy. And not immigrants that were trying to get across the border.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's our kids.
Yeah.
It's our girls. Yeah. I have three girls. They're 5, 7, and 9. And, you know, with the internet exploding, websites and social media, I mean, this is what's going on. And so we're going to start talking about it, and we're going to educate ourselves, and we're going to educate the community, because it's stuff like this is preventing people from opening communities. And it's our vulnerable girls that are, you know, don't have their mentors. And so that's something else on the horizon, because we're talking about all the opportunities we've had afforded to us, mm-hmm. and we don't want anybody else to be those kids in the back of an 18-wheeler or end up down I-10. So that's something else Junior League is going to be looking at this year, is how do we educate ourselves so that we can talk to the community about what's going on in Pensacola and our surrounding areas.
Yeah. And you know what? Speaking of some programs, too, Youth Leap is back this year, too.
Oh, absolutely.
So
they've
reworked some things and got a great relationship with the school districts going on. So hopefully we're going to have some younger generations get to go through some of the stuff that we did.
When does that open up?
I believe it's open right now.
Fantastic.
I don't know when it closes or if it has already.
People could probably just look online.
Online.
Facebook. Or...
Yeah, or through the Chamber's website.
All right, great.
Either one, yeah. So both of you are volunteer-run, for the most part, organizations, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
So what are some needs that you both have going into this hot summer?
Well, our needs are a little different. When we say volunteer, I mean, we've got a bunch of paid staff, so but we have volunteer support. The main thing we need to make sure is that for our Head Start program is that we're fully enrolled. We have, and for those that don't know about Head Start, I will tell you that Head Start is probably the most outcome-based preschool provider in this nation. We, in the first 45 days a child comes in, we're measuring BMI, we're setting nutrition plans for those that are overweight, underweight, they're getting to a doctor, they're getting to a dentist, they're getting services beyond the educational academic services mm-hmm. included in that. We are working with parents, and they're part of policy council, all with the goal of engaging them in the education of their child outside of the home, so that when that child matriculates to public school, that engagement hopefully will continue because they're familiar with it. What our need is for folks to know that we've got open enrollment right now. And if you go to our website, you'll see that everything that we do is income based. So there is no cost to our client. Mm-hmm. It's being paid for, but not by our client.
Sure.
And I always say that versus free, because it's being paid for by someone.
Right.
The other thing that I would say is over the summer is there are partners that we have that are very, very, very important to us. eCare, Every Child a Reader, Escambia. If you're involved in that, we thank you and we bless you, because that's
a leap program. That was
yes,
a leap class project.
Yes, it is. It's a huge deal, a big, big deal. But beyond that, We provide a number of resources to folks that are looking to shift from job to career. So mm-hmm. if there's folks that are in the business community that are willing to work with existing employees and help them move up their career ladder, we're there to help and assist those employers in doing that as well.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
That's great. Well, with the Junior League of Pensacola, the biggest need we would have it as you. So if you're a woman and you're 21 years old or older, there's no age limit. We would just love to have you come to one of our potential new member sessions. Like I said, the next one is June 16th at NAM. Just come find out if you feel like the Junior League would be a good fit for you. And it's hear what we're all about.
Right.
Like we said, it is an international organization. And other than that, if you're a business, Doug, and...
set you up for that one, didn't she?
and you feel like you're aligned with the mission and the vision of women and children in the community and making Pensacola better, then come talk to us about being a potential corporate sponsor. There's different levels of sponsorship and ways that you can become involved with the Junior League of Pensacola. It's not strictly a financial sponsorship or partnership. There's different types of in-kind. For example, you're talking about some of the health and wellness right. in the community.
Right.
We have a program, Kids in the Kitchen. It's also a national program. Hmm. And Everman's Co-op has been an amazing corporate sponsor. We get into the community and do all different types of nutritional programs. And like we said, so that may be a different way that you can become a sponsor with the Junior League of Pensacola, where we're doing hands-on partnership right. for some of our younger community members that really haven't had the opportunity to learn about health and wellness and nutrition.
Right.
So there's a lot of opportunities to become involved. If you're not a woman, I'm in a room full of men, but it sounds like just the conversations that we're having that y'all are very aligned with the mission and vision and making Pensacola a better place. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having these conversations right now.
Right.
So if you want to find out more information, you can just log on to juniorleagueofpensacola.org, call our office, call Lexi Thorson. She's our executive director. And there's lots of ways to get involved in making sure our women and children in the community are having a better time.
I have a question for Doug Uno.
That would be me.
This is forever sticking, like you said. Yeah. Okay.
We got Doug Stuff. One and Doug E.
Yes.
You were talking a lot of technical terms, but for individuals that are unresourced, What is the opportunity for them to participate with solar? And I say that because there's typically an upfront cost to that you have to invest to get that back end opportunity of savings over time.
Right, right. You're absolutely right about that, Doug. And we have made attempts to find funding. It's going to have to come with funding.
Mm-hmm.
Distributed generation is really what solar is. Centralized power is generated at a power plant somewhere mm-hmm. else. Being able to open up investment in solar to everyone is a goal of Sun Farm Energy. And I would love to meet with you and discuss how we can make that happen.
Okay.
And make it more available to lower income families.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, could you even take it to a scale of, you know, a neighborhood deciding whether, you know, everybody throws in this much money and then they can kind of build a central solar place to feed that neighborhood kind of thing?
So I could tell you how I'm thinking. I'm thinking that we've got in this community, with city or county, invention, community reinvestment areas that take the tax base and they set aside for a large investment.
Yeah.
And it's that type of potential source that could be potentially the attorney saying yes, a resource to seed that, because ultimately over time, it could be that the ROI is providing resource back
right.
to the CRA.
Mm-hmm,
The challenge is the challenge is there's a tremendous amount of resource that are able to help folks improve their lives if they have the capital to invest. If you don't have the capital to invest, then it's really not for that segment of the community. And there are ways to do it. It just requires to think about it differently. And I'm from the vein of tell me no, and I'll just figure out another question. I'm serious. I'm going to ask. And I don't have a problem asking, particularly when it's for somebody else. If it's for me, I probably will suffer. But if for someone else, I'm going to try to figure out ways to effectively get to a yes. That is beneficial to all parties.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that is just such a really good point. And it's something that we would like to see happen. And we definitely need to.
When it happens, we can say it started right here.
That's right.
There you go.
Fair enough. So what's next in your world, though? I mean, you're four years now?
5 years.
5 years. So you've hit like a business milestone.
Yeah. It's really exciting to see the growth in the industry. There are several large-scale projects in our area that are very close to kicking off. We are involved in the Gulf Power Community Solar project that's in Milton and supposed to start very soon. It's a 1 megawatt project anyone can invest in that may have a roof that's not suitable for solar. You can go ahead and buy a share in the community solar and still take the benefits on a smaller scale or an incremental scale. I think the minimum investment is $89.
Very cool.
And you get a defined amount of kilowatt hours credit. I believe it's 750 kilowatt hours. And, anyone can be involved in solar at this point.
So when does the time come when we all have our own personal portable solar panel to charge the phones or any other devices that we need on us at all times?
You already do. It's an app you can download. Yeah, that's not true. I'm making it up.
That time is here and now. And wow.
There's some camping ones I think I've seen.
Really interesting innovation in the industry is in storage right now, batteries. And we're seeing the Tesla Powerwall come out. And there's actually quite a few people that have reservations to put those in their homes. So when I spoke earlier about interactive systems, you're generating power and there's this backwards and forwards flow with the utility. But the having storage at a cost-effective rate allows you to store that energy and use it maybe when the sun isn't shining.
Sure.
At other times
at
when rates are high. Rates are high. And there's just some tremendous leaps going on in the industry. We're also seeing EVs. I happen to drive an EV. And
Is it a Tesla?
It's not a Tesla.
Damn.
It's an i3.
If you take a sticky, one of those sticky notes, and write Tesla on it and stick it on the back of your car, it's a Tesla.
It's a Tesla with a whole lot of imagination.
So, you might have seen the Sun Farm Energy i3 running around town or parked out in front of our office. It's a pleasure to drive. It probably costs, I think, about $20 in electricity a month to run that car.
Wow.
And it's sporty and easy to park. I think once people get in an EV and drive one and see how they perform, it's really a viable alternative. The majority of EVs aren't designed for the same kind of roles that, like, I wouldn't get in my car and drive to New Orleans. The typical EV is designed for local use. Most of the 95-98% of the driving we do on a daily basis is typically 10 or 15 miles from our home, going to the store, going to school, church.
Yeah.
So, it makes sense not to lug around a 10,000-pound vehicle to drive down to the grocery store.
Stuff you don't think about until you're talking to somebody like you.
And
that's just the truth.
They're inherently very efficient and a wise use of our limited resources. So it's something that I think we'll see a lot more of. There's programs coming down the line to connect the coast, which is installing EV charging stations. We have one at our office. I have one at my house. It's once you get used.
There's a Tesla station in Dufuniac of all places.
Right.
That's unexpected.
Well, yeah. Tesla has put charging stations on major thoroughfares
specifically
on corridors
mapped out places, right? So if you left from point A to point B, you'd have a charging station in the right place at the right time.
And we just started an organization. It's a local chapter of a national electric automobile association called the Northwest Florida EV Club. We had our first meeting about a month ago. It was a great success. And our next event is going to be announced, but it's going to be sometime this summer. And we are actually going to have a race between a 70s muscle car and a Tesla. So it'll be
let's see what happens.
It'll be very interesting to see that.
I've heard. So the gentleman down the hall, Phil, who's the chief editor for Android Nation, was out test driving a Tesla not too long ago and said they were pretty sweet. So
the Tesla is unique in that it has a large battery capacity and it has a greater range than the typical electric vehicle.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, we're getting close to the end of time here, but I want everybody to go around the horn real quick. One more time, give your contact information, website stuff where people can find you, locate you, and get in touch with you.
All right. So I'm Teresa Sharp, and I'm with University of West Florida and also Junior League of Pensacola. So if you're interested in learning more about either one of those organizations, please just look online and with Junior League of Pensacola. You can find us on Facebook and juniorleagueofpensacola.org.
Very cool.
Okay, Doug Herrick with Sun Farm Energy and Coastal ICF Concrete Wall Systems. We didn't talk too much about that, but that's great.
Your solar stuff's so much cooler.
Yeah, it's more interesting than concrete walls. But concrete construction is sustainable and energy efficient construction, and it's something that's caught on wildly. We had two new schools built last year out of ICF, and there's two more in the works. Mm-hmm. I believe they'll be starting in 2017. It's just a wonderful choice for energy efficiency. We are located at 1312 East Cervantes, just down from Krispy Kreme is what I tell everybody. It's
bring donuts spot. On the way, right?
Everybody knows where that is. Mm-hmm. So, and our web is www.sunfarmenergy.net or coastalicf.com. Please stop by.
All right, Dougie, you're up.
And mine is simple. Again, Doug Brown, Executive Director of the Community Action Program Committee, and Facebook Community Action Program Committee or Head Start. Any of those will link you to us. Our website is www.capc-pensacola.org. I left the office today, and as I was leaving, I was telling some of my associates, I said, we need to change our website because it's too long. Our email address is so long. Mm-hmm. And they collectively said, no, don't come back if you change it. So that's what it is. And
so it's staying that way, huh?
And, well, those ladies said that, and they gave me that look. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're more trouble than it's worth.
Yes.
I gotcha.
Yes.
Very cool. All right. Well, you guys can find us at PCola Radio X on Twitter. You can find us at PCola BRX on Facebook. Or you can find us on our website at pensacola.businessradiox.com. I want to thank all of you for joining me today.
Thank you.
For On the Air with Leap Alumni. And this has been Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters. Mm-hmm.